Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
I hate to spread rumors, but someone told me that Eric stood in front of a microwave too many times, and now he's got feathers sprouting from his neck.
Some kind of mutation, I guess.
Eric's very embarrassed about it. The doc told him there's nothing medical science can offer him.
Except maybe telling him to wear turtlenecks.
Anyway, thought you should know.
And now here's your chicken man of the airwaves, Eric Metaxas.
You know, that kind of humor has no place in this show. Alvin, what are we thinking?
Dude, Todd's going like off the rails.
I mean, I don't need people to know about my neck issues.
I know. Keep these things
quiet. All right, folks, this is a serious show. Very serious. Starting now. I was in Houston this whole weekend. It was like a birthday weekend for Eric Metaxas. Hey! It was really wonderful, actually. So much happened. I preached three times at a church in Houston. No one knew about it. It was just something I wanted to do privately for me and my family.
No one was there, and you just did.
Yeah, the church was empty, and I preached three. No, it was so full. It's the Second Baptist Church of Houston, and it is huge. And the third service I did, an 11 o'clock service, it's at their West Campus.
Yeah.
It's in the round.
Ooh.
It's like a round stage, and there are people all around. It's very disconcerting. But there are thousands of people, and I preached about, it's the message from my book, If You Can Keep It, about the role of faith in American-style self-government and liberty. You cannot extract virtue and faith from the founder's vision of self-government. Mm. So it was kind of a July 4th service, and they wanted me to do that. But I love that church. It's Second Baptist in Houston. The pastor there's a legend, Dr. Young. And then both of his sons are also pastors. One, Ed Young Jr., is a big pastor in Dallas. And then the one that we were hanging out with, Ben Young. Just fabulous people, and the whole family of that church. Sometimes you just feel like I'm home. And my wife and daughter got to be with me. But it was, the whole thing was wonderful. Over the weekend, there was kind of a brouhaha with an article David French wrote about me. David French is a, I think it's safe to call him a never Trumper. He's a conservative. And he even put up a third party candidacy against Trump, which I think everybody, most people thought of as ill-conceived or whatever. But the point is that he has kind of, I believe he's a Christian, and he has kind of taken on those Christians who've supported Trump. And I guess I'm one of those, right? So he wrote an article in Time Magazine's online edition. I don't know if Time Magazine exists anymore, but it called me out in person as operating out of fear and not out of faith and this and that. So I tweeted about it. You know, of course, it's hard to read something like that because not only do I feel he's wrong, but you feel offended, like you think, wow, he doesn't know me and he'd never talk to me about
right.
it. So of course, John Zmirak wrote an article about it, which was a brilliant, brilliant article.
Of course.
And I want to talk to John Zmirak about that. I love John Zmirak, and I got to say, he's just so entertaining. I find everything he writes hilarious and brilliantly argumented. Argumented?
Oh.
I think the verb, Eric, is argued. But anyway, so in 1 second, I want to bring on the great John Zmirak. But Alvin, we have to say an hour or two today.
Yeah.
We have the president, quote unquote, of the United States coming up again on this program.
Yeah, he's talking about the wall and China and that sort of thing. Yeah.
He's coming. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's exciting. So we're going to have the president of the United States coming up, and we're going to talk to Mark Hancock, who's the head of Trail Life USA.
Yes.
You hear that voice? I think that means John Zmirak is on the line. Is he on the line?
We're searching for him.
Is he there? We're looking for John Zmirak.
John, come in.
But I want to say also, being in Houston, you know, you get to see old friends, our friends, the Blake Moores, who are there. And then my new friend, Roger Javens, he's the guy that got me to go to my Yale reunion. Remember I told that whole story? He was in my class at Yale. He and his lovely wife, Jennifer, live with their two girls in the Houston area. So we got to have dinner with him at a Greek restaurant called Yaya Mary's, right? And check this out. It was 2 days after my birthday. So I thought, oh, I get to extend my birthday weekend until I found out that that day was Roger's birthday.
Oh,
so we had a double birthday
stole your thunder.
Celebration.
Okay.
It was really, really, it was so fabulous. And then actually before we get Zmirek on the line, I've got to say I'm starting to get recognized for being on the TVN TV program.
TBN, yep.
A guy came up to me out of the hotel and he says, are you Eric Metaxas on TBN? I said, yeah. He goes, I just saw your show with Irwin McManus, and I was involved in the Las Vegas shooting. I was there, and it brought me closer to God and my faith because it was such a harrowing experience, and I'm writing a book about it. And he said that he saw me on TBN, and he saw the show with Irwin McManus, and he bought Irwin's book.
Yeah.
And so he's reading that right now. But I thought it's such a wonderful thing to hear from people that are watching the TBN program. This is a new experience in my life, and I'm just grateful to TBN. I hope everybody already knows that because the studio is so beautiful. All right.
And they got us new mugs.
Oh.
New mugs.
New mugs that say Eric Metaxas Show on one side and TBN
on the other.
On the other.
Beautiful.
Isn't
Thank you.
Isn't
TBN.
It amazing?
Yes.
And man, look how they hold that water.
Great.
It's
they didn't just
like,
build you this fabulous studio.
Right.
They got mugs.
They
as
got
well.
Mugs that hold water. And I mean, they hold water, I would say, flawlessly. I don't see any leakage.
No,
like
not
nothing.
At all.
Nothing.
Not at all.
And the water level, look how flat that is.
Wow.
At the top.
No.
Isn't that nice? That's not easy to do. Come
no
on.
No tremors or
That's
anything?
That's not easy to do.
No? Okay.
All right, let's see if we got John Zmirek on the phone. John, are you there? John.
Hi. Yes, hello.
John, you
finished? Beagles have been fed.
Finish your breakfast. Feed the beagles. And listen, John, we've not talked over the weekend, but on social media we've been in touch because I got to tell you, the article that you wrote for Stream.org has gotten a little bit of attention. Would it be safe to say that? No?
Yeah, I think so. Have you seen anything beyond, you know, beyond what I saw on Twitter? Has anybody done a blog post about it, or has it elicited any hair-pulling or Japanese acts of ritual suicide?
Let's pray that there are no blog posts, but I want to sum it up. I mean, it's always tempting for me to keep talking, but you're my guest. So if you don't mind, tell us about the article and what you say in the article, and we'll talk about it.
Sure. David French, who is everybody's favorite never-Trumper over at National Review, if you remember, he actually explored running third party against Trump in the general election, presumably to help elect Hillary Clinton. He has not given up. He has continued to package and repackage his argument that if Christians support Donald Trump in any way, they are completely betraying their faith and scandalizing generations of Christians such that countless souls will be lost. Because people will think back and say, well, maybe Jesus is risen, but you know, some of you Christians voted against Kamala Harris and for Donald Trump, so I don't care if Jesus was risen.
Right.
You should listen to David French.
Right.
So, essentially, David French is... Do you remember that character in the movie Office Space? The guy with the mustache who wanted his red stapler back, and they wouldn't give him his red stapler back, and they wouldn't, and they wouldn't, and finally...
I didn't get that. I didn't get the reference when I read it in the article. I figured it's because I'm too old to watch dumb movies like that, but go ahead.
Oh, it was from 90. It was came out like 98, so you were young enough to probably watch it. But anyway,
you
got to watch it. It's a great satire. But it's this character who they keep, you know, he feels put upon and abused, and finally they don't give him back the red stapler he wants, so he sets the building on fire. And that is the ending of the climax of the movie. That red stapler is control of the Republican Party. And David French is just another neocon who wants control of the Republican Party and is infuriated that Donald Trump took it away. So just like Bill Kristol, just like David Frum, indistinguishable from any of these secular neocons, David French wants to blow up the GOP for not nominating his candidate, for not following his policies, of, you know, invade the world and invite the world. Policies like the Iraq War, policies like virtually open borders. Because the GOP didn't nominate his choice of candidate and didn't nominate David French, which I think he really wants to be president. I really think that.
Wow. Listen, we're out of time in this segment, but this is hot stuff. Folks, we're going to be back talking to John Zmirak. You will hear me say after the break, unleash the Zmirak, and Zmirak will go. So you stick around. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking to Big Bad John Zmirak about the article that he wrote at stream.org. I think you need to go to stream.org. You need to bookmark stream.org. You need to follow John Zmirak on Twitter. You need to buy John Zmirak's books, like The Politically Incorrect Guide to Immigration. Folks, I don't like to push you very hard, but sometimes I think it's I'm doing the right thing. John, in this article, you got a lot of pushback because of how you framed the article. David French, you say David Vichy French wants Christians to surrender. Not everybody is going to get the Vichy French reference. Do you mind explaining that for those people that don't know American history?
or French history.
Or world history.
Or
that
Lincoln
was shot.
Okay. Well, in David French's article is saying that you, specifically, Eric, and all those other dopey Christians who supported Donald Trump have sold out their faith and scandalized the church out of fear. You're all afraid. We're all terrified. And the Bible says, do not have a spirit of fear. Have a spirit of hope and self-control. And he makes the whole argument at pro-Trump Christians.
You're breaking up a little bit. Let me say this, because this is I always worry, because I know I talk too much, but sometimes there are little teaching points, and I don't want my audience to miss it. When we quote the Scripture, okay, to me the Scripture is the Word of God. It is nothing's more sacred than the Bible in my mind. So when you quote the Scripture, and there's the famous Scripture that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, and it goes on from there. The problem with some evangelicals, of which I would count myself, among whom I would count myself, is that sometimes we take a scripture out of reference. So you can't pretend that the whole Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. You have to put it in some context, right?
Yeah,
in other words, my daughter is playing in traffic and I say, get out of the road, and people say, you have to trust God. You're speaking out of fear. And I would say, well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. You know, if my daughter's about to be hit by a truck, perhaps screaming, get out of the road, is God's way of saving her life. And when it comes to Trump and when it comes to our political situation right now, I would argue that David French has mischaracterized me and a lot of my confreres, not all, because, of course, there's always somebody guilty of something. But the point is that to accuse me of operating out of a spirit of fear and not out of a spirit of faith, I would not only take issue with that, I think I would take umbrage with it, because it is it's more than wrong. It's disingenuous. And so in your article, you went after him very hard over this, and you compared him, because of the unfortunate relationship that his name has to that country, you compared him to the people who collaborated with the Nazis during the Second War. And we know that you're a satirist. You're very strong. You hit hard. But I didn't write the article. But the point is, there is an apt parallel, even if you find the comparison, as my friend Rod Dreher did, over the top. There is a parallel, and it's very hard when the man's name is French, not to be tempted toward that joke. I just want to say, as somebody who writes humor, that's the tough part. If his name weren't French, you wouldn't have compared him to the Vichy government. But the fact of the matter is, how can you not if you're John Zmirak? So that's my way of apologizing for, you know, a great joke.
Well, Eric, David French was accusing you and pro-Trump Christians of acting out of a spirit of fear. But in the last article he wrote about why Donald Trump is so terrible, he was accusing you of acting out of a craving for power. And before that, it was something else. He keeps pulling one rabbit out of the hat after another. But in fact, what David French is about in all of these things is he hates Donald Trump for defeating his candidates. He hates Trump supporters for pushing the neocons out. And this is how he resembles the Vichy French. The Vichy French were right-wingers in France who hated the French left so much. They hated the non-right-wing French so much that some of them wished for the Nazis to win the war. They actually said, better Hitler than our French opponents. We'd rather have Hitler conquer France than let left-wing Frenchmen run the country. David French would rather Kamala Harris become president and persecute the church than that anybody but the neocons control the Republican Party. That's all he's about. And all the Christian stuff, in my opinion, and I say this with absolute sincerity, all his scriptural arguments are smoke and mirrors. It's a feud about control of the GOP Xerox machine.
Well, I think that I don't know David French, but I know many people who do know him and like him and think he's honorable and everything. And so I would argue that he believes what he's saying from the scriptures. But I would also argue, as you are arguing, that he's simply getting it wrong, that effectively the scriptures that he is quoting end up being smoke and mirrors for something deeper. I want to introduce something that you don't talk about in the article, John, but I feel whenever I'm attacked for supporting the president, there's an issue that I'll call it the elephant in the room. Grace. We believe in grace. So the question is, when do you dispense grace and when do you withhold grace, right? So when Obama was president or where Clinton was president, many evangelicals said, you know, this is immoral and we can't stand for this and da 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 da. And I was one of those people. I said, this man's unfit for president. He has had sexual relations inside the White House, not 10 years before he was elected, but in the White House. And so there are a couple of complex issues here. You have the moral issue of how somebody's behaving and what they're saying, and people have condemned Trump. I have said, and this is all qualified, but that part of being a Christian is understanding the issue of grace. In other words, we're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to love people who are different from we are. So I can disagree with somebody who has a sexual agenda that goes along the LGBTQ lines, but I can still treat them with grace. For some reason, John, the people who hate Trump have utterly dispensed with that part of the Christian faith. In other words, they have given themselves permission to despise with joy this man. And I have to say that does bother me.
Yeah, I think you make an excellent point. And I think where you and I differ is that I don't think the president's personal morality matters that much. I opposed impeaching Bill Clinton. So I'm consistent in thinking that I care what a politician does for the weakest, most vulnerable members of society, like the unborn, like working-class Americans, like Americans who need protection from gangbangers streaming across the border from Mexico and taking over their towns. So to me, I would like the president to go to heaven, but it's his job is to govern justly and wisely, and I think Donald Trump has done that. I think it's fascinating to me that these never-Trumpers, they don't want to talk about anything Trump has done in office. They want to talk about his alleged sexual past from 10 years ago. That is pretty much the definition of an ad hominem fallacy. It's like saying, it's like going into a restaurant and tasting the food and saying, yeah, I don't care how the food tastes. I've heard that the chef cheated on his wife 10 years ago, and I'm not going to finish his plate.
I think that that's a very apt comparison. And I think that, I mean, listen, in all these things, speaking as a Christian, I want to be clear and fair. And if I'm wrong, I want to admit it. If there's a double standard, I want to repent of my previous sins so that I can be right today, so that I can say, okay, I was wrong. And, you know, and so in the issue with Trump, I just want to say that I've observed this man. And, you know, it's the typical statement, right? Like, I don't agree with everything he says. There's many things that he says that I wish he wouldn't say. But in terms of how he has governed dramatically more conservatively and, dare I say, biblically than George W. Bush in two terms, than Romney would have, or than McCain would have. And I have to say, as a conservative, that's actually a staggering thing. It's a staggering thing, because everyone thought this guy is going to get elected and then he's going to go back to the center and he's going to be kind of a New York Bloomberg liberal. And the opposite happened. And the fact that folks like French aren't willing to concede that before they go to trash him is odd and I think telling. We're going to be right back. We have the hour with John Zmirak. Don't go away. Taxi Show, talking to John Zmirak. We have July 4th coming up.
Oh, yeah.
This week, we have a special July 4th program. That's 2 days from now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Special. Don't miss it. Special July 4th program. Later in this show today, we have the quote-unquote president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
I wish he would solve all of this argument.
It's incredible. Yeah. Well, we're going to hear from him later in the hour. John Zmirak, do me a favor here, and let's talk a couple things we got to cover. The main thing that David French says in his article, which, as I said, really upset me, he accuses people of being fearful. He accuses me by name of being fearful, not speaking out of faith. I know he's wrong about that. But it's not just that he's wrong about me. He's wrong about the concept. And you go down the list and you mention how Christians often rightly, like Paul, when Paul appeals and he says, I am a Roman citizen, he uses that to push back against those who are persecuting him. And of course, the Roman Empire is wicked. He doesn't say, I'm not going to appeal to Caesar or I'm not going to. So explain that, if you would, historically. Sure. There's so many cases of Christians doing that, that David French seems of which he seems ignorant.
That's right. I mean, I pointed out that if you go back to the book of Esther, Mordecai and Esther, you know, they actually worked to influence the Persian king, Ahasuerus, who's a total pagan, in order to protect the Jewish people. Was that wrong? Were they selling out Jewish principles by doing that? And I go through history. Were Mary and Joseph wrong to be afraid that Jesus would be killed, so they fled from Herod to Egypt? How about the Christians who helped Charles Martel keep the Muslims from conquering France? Martin Luther fleeing the Inquisition to the protection of a feudal lord. Did he refuse that protection because that feudal lord was not a perfect evangelical Christian at the moment? When the Puritans, you know, fought against persecution in England and then fled it to go to Holland and North America, would David French have been saying, no, no, you have to stay here and get killed because otherwise you're operating in a spirit of fear?
Okay.
The most important one, and it's to do with you. You wrote the definitive biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was afraid that Hitler was going to kill more Jews and more Christians and more handicapped people. So he conspired with German officers who had fought in the Second World War, who had bombed cities, who had been involved in an unjust and wicked invasion of neighboring countries. He worked with those people who had literal blood on their hands. They didn't say something tacky on Access Hollywood. They had led a Nazi war. He worked with them to try to stop Hitler's Holocaust by assassinating him. I assume if David French were consistent, he would say Dietrich Bonhoeffer vitiated, ruined his Christian witness by working with those horrible, horrible officers with blood on their hands to try to stop the Holocaust. That is the implication of what he's saying. And I want to make one more point. A lot of people say, well, it's baffling. Yeah, Trump appears to be governing more like a conservative Christian, but I don't think that he necessarily is one, and that's confusing to me. Guys, politics is about influence, okay? Donald Trump was isolated within the Republican Party. He didn't have any constituencies supporting him. A lot of evangelicals rallied to him. Suddenly, by doing that, they gained influence over his policies, influence they didn't have for 20 years in the Republican Party. From 1996 to 2015, Christians, pro-lifers, were taken for granted in the Republican Party the way the Democrats take black voters for granted. We were just fobbed off with empty promises, an occasional pat on the head, and maybe a few table scraps. Donald Trump needed people to support him. He turned to Christians, and in gratitude, he started to do things that we asked him to do, and now I think he's actually become persuaded that those things are good. But nevertheless, we have more influence over Donald Trump than Christians have had since 1980, when we helped elect Ronald Reagan. If David French thinks we should throw all of that away because it's tacky and icky to associate with people who aren't perfect believers, well, I'm sorry. I have a hard time taking him seriously as someone who even thinks about politics at all.
Hey, well, don't forget that Christian buzzword, Christian witness.
Oh, Albin, yeah. You delivered because I wanted to bring that up. Okay, here's what I think. Thank you, Albin. That is so, I mean, every time I read this, yeah. And this is not just David French, but tons of people who despise the president, who don't really seem to be bothered by the prospect of a super pro-abortion candidate like Hillary Clinton. They don't seem to be bothered at all by that. They always talk about we Christians have to preserve our Christian witness. Now, nobody cares more about that than I do because I think it's a biblical concept, right? Right. Okay. But here's the issue. Is that not operating out of a spirit of fear? I'm worried that I'm going to lose influence. And, you know, I have to say that you have to let the chips fall where they may. You do the right thing knowing that some people will misunderstand you. Bonhoeffer was despised by many evangelical Christians. We need to get that on the table. Bonhoeffer was despised by the most pious Christians in Germany because they said he is dirtying his hands with politics. Shame on him. And I have to say, I side with Bonhoeffer the way I side with David killing Goliath. We're going to be right back talking to John Zmirak. Very important conversation, folks. Stick around.
You live your life in the songs you hear on the rock and roll radio. And when a young girl doesn't have any friends, that's a really nice place to go. Folks hoping you'd turn out cool, but they had to take you out of school. You're a little touched, you know.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to John Zmirak. He's written an article at The Stream. I'm begging you to read the article and to share the article with your friends. I'm begging you, folks. The title of the article is David Vichy French Wants Christians to Surrender. As usual with John Zmirak, it is absolutely hilarious and absolutely beautifully argued. There's a paragraph in here I'm going to read before I let John respond, because he says that Okay, he writes, French has chosen to wave the colorful handkerchief fear. He complains Christians like Metaxas abandon long-held principles out of unseemly fear, and French wants to twist things around until what we fear is fear itself. With a few rhetorical gestures, French shrugs that the church is in political danger, that a Democratic president would indeed appoint Supreme Court justices who trash the First Amendment. And in other words, folks, these are all things that are true. And it seems that David French says, who cares? OK, that Democrats want to bankrupt orders of nuns vowed to poverty if these nuns will not hand out abortion pills. He shrugs that the Democrats want to close down Christian bakers who won't make satanic sex toy cakes. Folks, I met Jack Phillips a few times. He has been put out of business virtually for refusing to do things that are against not only anybody who has faith, but anybody who has any morality of any kind. He refuses to do it, and they're trying to stick it to him. David French shrugs at that. John goes on in the article, then to shutter countless churches by denying them tax exemptions for resisting sodomy and fund abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason in 50 states. So David French seems to shrug at all these things. Now, folks, these are real. These are happening. So it's just bizarre. So, John,
it's not fear. It's true.
It's beautiful that you put that in there. Like, these things are happening. And I don't understand his calculus. How can he not care about those things?
I mean, it kind of makes me think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, and you've got the Levite walking to Jerusalem, and he sees the Samaritan lying in the ditch, and he doesn't want to get himself muddy. He doesn't want to get ritually impure. He doesn't want to get his hands dirty by climbing into the muck and getting this crime victim off the side of the road, because that would be dirtying himself. He would be staining his witness as a Levite priest marching off to Jerusalem by wading down into the muck of dealing with a crime victim. So I think David French read the parable of the Good Samaritan, but he identifies with the wrong character.
Well, look, we are all sinners, so I'm not here to accuse David French. I just want to have this conversation because my name was mentioned, and I thought to myself,
well, I mean, his argument
well,
is
that's right.
He should be like the priest who doesn't get down in the muck and doesn't help the Good Samaritan because he doesn't want to get dirty. David French is saying that we should not dirty ourselves by associating with real politicians who are mostly not super pious people who will meet the Franklin Graham character test.
Well, let me ask you a question, too. You mentioned this in the article. There's so much in the article. But I always say this. Where are all these people to criticize John F. Kennedy, who was routinely bringing prostitutes into the White House? His face is on our 50-cent coins. We have an airport named after him. Nobody says that this man disgraced the office of the presidency. Well, of course he did, but we're willing to overlook that because he was assassinated at a young age and on and on and on. We don't hold other politicians to this standard. Lyndon Johnson behaved in a swinish fashion. We know that Bill Clinton did. And so it is bothersome when Christian conservatives like David French seems somehow, for the sake of their argument, to completely ignore that history.
I think the only president who would meet the David French standard was the puritanical lunatic Woodrow Wilson.
I think maybe I think Jimmy Carter would meet that standard. I mean, Jimmy Carter is a good man.
Yeah.
Zachary Taylor.
Jimmy Carter is a good man, but that doesn't mean that he was an effective president.
David French would rather have a president like Jimmy Carter or Woodrow Wilson. But I don't even believe that, you know. I don't think David French actually consistently holds to the principles that he uses in his arguments. I don't think he couldn't. It would be insulting to him to suggest that he actually held to these ludicrous principles.
Well,
let's give him credit. Let's be fair to him and just say he's being opportunistic because he hates Donald Trump. He hates Donald Trump with a perfect hatred. And that is what is interesting. And I think the question that's a spiritual interest here and that somebody needs to take up in prayer is David French needs to try to understand why he personally hates Donald Trump so much, and I think he needs to deal with that in prayer.
And I want to say to people who are listening, what a dumb statement to people who are listening. If you're not listening, you can hear me. I want to say that I don't even dislike David French. I don't know David French, but what he says, I strongly disagree with. And I would actually say, just like a math teacher, I think he's flat out wrong. I don't think there's any question that he's wrong. The people who attacked Bonhoeffer, you know, let's forget, we all want to jump on the right part of the, we were, jump on the bandwagon. Now everybody says Bonhoeffer's great. In his day, and for many decades after his death at the hands of Nazis, there were plenty German Christians and plenty American Christians who spat on him, figuratively speaking, and said, how dare a man of God get involved in a plot with pagans to murder a head of state? And I would say to those people, first of all, it's not murder any more than we murdered Osama bin Laden. When you're in war, when you kill Goliath and your name is David, that's not murder. It is to kill. But the Bible says thou shalt not murder, not thou shalt not kill. We sometimes conflate the two. And I think that we need to work these things out. And it's why I wanted to have this conversation. People need to read your article, John. It's at stream.org. I put it on my Twitter feed, on my Facebook page. I hope everyone who hears this, who is online, will share the article and we can have this conversation, because I in no way want to go to war with my brothers in Christ like David French. But I do want to have this conversation, and I'm grateful to you for writing this article, because I don't have the time or the inclination to take these things on. But at least on the radio program, I can give it some oxygen. We'll be right back with John Zmierak. Hey there, folks. This is Eric Metaxas Show, the show about everything.
Everything.
We have one of our favorite guests, John Zmierak. You remember that movie, Don't Mess with the Zohan?
Yeah.
Don't Mess with the Zmierak. He's on the line. John, I want to ask you, because you really have a delightful way of writing and expressing yourself, but some people online, my friend Rod Dreher, took issue with comparing, you know, David French to the collaborating Vichy government, and got very upset. And my defense, no kidding, is I say you are very, very, very funny. And it's hard not to laugh, even at the graphic you have chosen. It's brilliantly funny. But what do you say to Rod Dreher? Because Rod is really a friend. I disagree with him on some stuff. But what do you think?
I think Rod did something just as disgraceful as what David French has done. Both of them in Time magazine went after their fellow Christians and I think gave really reckless and irresponsible political advice. Back a few days after gay marriage was imposed on America by the Supreme Court, Rod Dreher took to Time magazine to promote his Benedict option. And one of the things he said was, we Christians need to give up on failed strategies like voting Republican. And I don't think it's any surprise that Time magazine gave a huge column to somebody who's in the going to help suppress the Christian vote. Now Time magazine, the same magazine, is giving airtime to David French, where he calls for the Republicans to run a primary challenger against Trump, Christians who run a primary challenger against Trump, to cripple him so he can't win re-election. I'm sorry, I think they're both collaborating with the enemies of the church, and I'm not going to back down, and I'm not going to apologize, and I'm not going to retract one bit. I'm doubling down. I think both of them are behaving recklessly and irresponsibly from the point of view of political prudence. They are both endangering the religious freedom of Americans and the cause of unborn children.
Mm-hmm. Would you care to repeat that?
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. Hey, in the article you write something. I wanted to read this, and I'm glad that I found it again before we run out of time. You write that David French calls on Christians to mount a kamikaze primary attack on Donald Trump, all to accomplish what? To preserve our witness, that is, to keep up appearances, in italics. Since we would know such a gesture would fail, would squander our influence with Trump for the good, and would likely elect some Diocletian in a dress like Kamala Harris. Who, sir, for those who don't know, was Diocletian?
Diocletian was the emperor who put in place the worst persecution of Christians in history up to that point. He launched the persecution of Christians all across the Roman Empire that killed tens of thousands of people, and that it was a last-ditch attempt of the pagans to wipe out Christianity. And shortly after Diocletian died, Constantine came and made a bid to become emperor, and one of the things he said was, Christians, I will stop persecuting you. My mother was Christian, and I don't think you people are bad, so if I'm elected emperor, or if you support me in the upcoming civil war, I will protect Christians from persecution. Christians rallied to him. Christians did not look at him and say, ooh, what's his sexual history? Has he associated with some unsavory people? Let's look at his business deals. Is he going to tweet on uncharitable things that are not winsome? If he is, we're not going to accept protection. We want to be massive.
We're out of time. I hate being out of time.
Yeah.
John, stay on the line. Maybe we'll get to you at the end of the second hour. Folks, it's the show about everything, the Eric Metaxas Show. Please visit us on social media. And thanks for listening.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.